Hello and welcome, or welcome back to Fancy a Blather podcast, the cozy podcast of your dreams, based right here in the capital city of Scotland, Edinburgh. Today we are chatting to the lovely Nicole in my cozy living room, and it is an episode you're not going to want to miss, so thank you for tuning in. If you're new, welcome. If you're old, welcome back. Nicole is chatting to us all about ADHD in adults, and it's a really, really interesting conversation and one you're definitely going to stick around for. But for now, let's hop into our intro. Hello, hello, hello. How's it going, everyone? I don't know why I always do that, because none of you can answer me, but I guess it's just like a force of nature or something. Is that the saying? Or a force of habit is maybe the saying. Okay, before we hop into it, I don't really have many life updates. Obviously my last life updates were my birthday celebrations. I've pretty much like recovered from that, but January has been a hectic month to be me. Very glad to be in February, because I was exhausted. I fell asleep at 5:30 last night on a Saturday night. I know, wild ride. I'm just such an exciting person, am I just? But I don't know, it's just been so full on. I like moved job this week and then had to do like a really big interview for later on this year. Why am I doing it in February? You tell me. I don't know either. So I was like finishing off at my current job, well, at my last job now, I guess, starting at my new job, discovering my new job was going to be more work than I thought it was going to be when I first arrived. And then doing that interview, and now I'm just like, I'm exhausted, you know? That's how I'm currently feeling. I'm feeling pretty energized today because I slept at 5:30 last night, and I did not wake up until about 7:30 this morning. So I got a lot of sleep. What's that, like 14 hours? So I can't complain. And I had a really productive Sunday, which I'm happy to say. Like, my life's feeling a little bit more together, which is nice. And that kind of leads me to my small wonder of the week. My small wonder of the week is the most Type A small wonder of all time. Is very on brand for me, and definitely will be very off brand for a lot of other people. It's organization. I love having things organized. I just like function better as a human being when things are organized. I don't know how else to explain it. It just makes me feel better about my life. So yeah, basically my plan this week is to do a bunch of organization in my new space at work, and I'm excited for that because it's definitely not it right now, but will be by the end. And I'm excited to see like the progress. I've been like buying stuff for storage and things like that this week, and it got me really excited. I was like, oh, it's gonna be so fun when it's done. Like, I don't know, just like everything having a home really excites me. Having a space where it's just easy to work in and easy to find things and easy to function as a human being is something I really enjoy. And I did recently kind of upgrade my organization game in my room for my birthday. I got like a perfume organizer, so now all my perfumes are like beautifully stacked. I'm looking at them right now, over on the top of this chest of drawers, and it's so much better than like them being kind of scattered everywhere in drawers. Just wasn't working for me. And I also got a makeup organizer, but it's kind of like for skincare as well, for my dressing table, because I just had products lying around and it was really stressing me out. And I love it. I love, love, love it. Okay? What can I say? I can't help it. I'm a big fan. Yeah, so the gem of the city this week is a restaurant that actually came up when discussing Nicole's small wonder with her, which you will hear soon. And it's one of my favorite restaurants to go to in Edinburgh. I mean, I say that like I've been there multiple times. I have been there once, but I really love it, and I am going to go again ASAP Rocky. I don't know why I just said that, but I did. And my other friends also like it, so like that's a good sign, I guess. And it's called Chez Jules, and I love French food personally. So I'm a big fan of a French restaurant, and it's very affordable in my opinion, especially for Edinburgh prices. And it's on Hanover Street, so super local. It's open from 12 till 12 every day. And yeah, the menu, killer. But like, you can get three courses at lunch for £12. I feel like that's a really good deal. So big fan, Chez Jules, check it out. I'm sure I'll do a TikTok of it soon to match the episode. I apologize that the Gem of the City TikToks are kind of like behind the episodes coming out. But that's just life, you know? Just keeping it real with you all. So next up, we have our poem of the week. And I've just been feeling the winter vibes lately. Like, I've just been, I don't know how else to explain it. I've just been enjoying being in winter. Anyone that knows me, well, obviously I'm a winter baby. We know that. And anyone who knows me just knows that I love to like cozy up. I don't know why. It's just a thing that I like to do. So yeah, I guess that's why I'm reading poetry about winter. So this one is called Winter Trees, and it's by William Carlos Williams. Winter Trees. All the complicated details of the attiring and the disattiring are completed. A liquid moon moves gently among the long branches. Thus, having prepared their buds against a sure winter, the wise trees stand sleeping in the cold. Yeah, so that's Winter Trees by William Carlos Williams, as per usual. It will be linked in the show notes. And before we hop into the episode, I will, of course, round this out with my new favourite segment, my Korean essential of this episode. And this one's kind of rogue. Like, I don't know if it's necessarily something I would first think of as a Korean essential, but recently I've been loving. So because I obviously moved job recently and also had my birthday recently, I have received a lot of flowers. And is this like adulting? Like, I've never really received flowers from anyone other than my best friend, who gives me them for no reason. Iconic, we love her. Shout out Ailey. But other than that, like, I don't know, I've never really given me flowers that much in my life. So it's very exciting, and it just like up levels my Korean times. Like, it makes me feel cozy, like looking at the flowers on my table when I have my blanket on with my slippers, watching Netflix. I don't know how else to explain it. Like, it just makes me feel good about life. So that makes me feel cozy. So I'm calling it a Korean essential. So yeah, flowers, fresh flowers. It's a new thing. In winter, I know, who am I? No one knows. But anyway, before we hop into the main part of the episode, I just want to remind you to check us out on Instagram at Fancy Blether, and check out our TikTok at Fancy Blether as well. And stay tuned, because we have a very exciting shoot with the photos from it coming out very, very soon, and potentially a new podcast cover in the works. So keep your eyes peeled for that one. Hello, just hopping in here for our charity of the week. This week we are shouting out Play Midlothian, just trying to, you know, stay on trend with things that are relevant to my life, I suppose. So Play Midlothian, the kind of key areas of things that they do are providing enriching opportunities for children to play in support of their health, well-being, and development, addressing barriers and inequalities in access to the play children need, building family, community, and professional capacity to support play, and advocating for play and informing and influencing decision making. So they run scheduled play sessions kind of all around Midlothian and have different sessions such as out to play focused on outdoor play, stay for play that's focused on like 0 to 4 year olds, and play for all that's got disabled children throughout Midlothian involved and involves their parent and carers and the learning and fun too. They've also got different well-being sessions on, and they're doing lots of other really cool work, so I highly recommend checking them out. Their website is just playmidlothian.org.uk, and there you can find out a lot more about them and their services. You can get involved by finding ways to volunteer, fundraise, or join the team, and naturally donate as well. And they're also on Facebook and Twitter. So like I said, it's playmidlothian.org.uk. Hello, Nicole, and welcome to Fancy a Blether podcast. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm very ready to blether. I'm a big fan of it.
Nice. We start off every week by asking our guests what is a small wonder that you are grateful for this week.
Mine would definitely be the ascension into loving being alone and being comfortable and doing things alone. Which I think started in my mid-20s. I'm now in my early 30s. Because there was definitely a time in my life when I was younger that I would not have anyone to do something with, so I just wouldn't do it. But I was literally saying to Kirstie just before we started recording that I had a really full weekend, and most of it I spent alone. But I went to dinner at my favorite French place on Friday, and then on Saturday, I went to a coffee tasting morning, and then I went to do a biscuit decorating class in the afternoon, and then I went to a movie by myself at night, and then I went to a vintage
it's like the
flea
kilo
market thing.
Okay, is it like the kilo sale or the... Or
no,
more
it was like out of the the blue drill hall.
Uh-huh.
They do stuff pretty often, and I just am always... Okay. I just can never... I see it afterwards a lot of the time, and I'm like, damn it. So I finally started following like all of these things, and now I saw it pop up, and I was like, great. For over a year, I've wanted to attend one of these since I found out they existed. So I did meet up with a couple friends in between that, for like a friend of mine was out, and we met up for drinks, and another friend of mine, we got like a quick lunch after the coffee morning. But for the most part, and my husband said he had something, you can't see the air quotes, planned for this evening at home that he won't tell me about. So I don't know if that's like something grand or like a move. I don't know. They won't give me any details. So to be seen. But most of my weekend was spent alone, and I really just was very... And I've been like, you know, this has been normal for me for about 7 or 8 years. But my 25-ish years before that, I just would have been like, oh, well, too bad for me. I wouldn't think to have done that. It was great. I really enjoyed myself. I didn't want to stay home. If I had a friend, I did ask people to join me for things, and it was very last minute, so nobody was free, which is fine. But yeah, I was, especially last night when I got out of the movie, because I remember telling a friend years ago that I had seen a movie alone. It was the first time I ever had seen a movie alone, and she just couldn't. I was maybe like 19 or something, and she just was like, I can't ever imagine going to the movies alone.
Really?
Or eating dinner alone. And that was the first time I'd ever done that. And I was like, I never did either, but I wanted to see this movie, and I went and saw it, and it was fine. It was great. And so, yeah, in every year of my life, I feel more independent. And I think there's also just a conversation in the world of women doing things on their own. And that's, so it's more topical anyway. But, yeah, I did. I was walking home after seeing it. I went to the Omni Center, and it's just like a lovely like half hour walk home from there. And so I was just reflecting on how happy I am that that became a natural progression for me as I got older, and how special it was that I could have so much time on my own with myself and be comfortable and happy and not feel lonely or not feel odd or anything like that. Highly recommend it. If you haven't started, start planning yourself little dates.
Yeah, that's
on your
so
own.
Cool.
No, I love that. I have to ask, what is your French place? I'm big
okay,
on French food.
Okay, so I am not a big foodie. I have a very basic palate. Uh-huh. I'm trying to be more of an adult about it, but it's just how I am. But what I find, for whatever reason, I've done this now several times. When I am sad and alone, I apparently go to French restaurants. I've done it in New York. There's an incredible place called Le Express. It's a 24-hour French restaurant.
Ooh, in New York?
Yeah. Nice. I want to say it's on Park Ave. Doesn't matter. I'm not in New York. You look up a 24-hour French restaurant. If you ever go to New York, there's only one. I want to say it's on Park Avenue, but it doesn't matter. And I did that a handful of times. Like, I didn't want to go home. And I was just feeling a bit, not sad, more like melancholy than sad. And I've done it in London. I ended up at a French, so it's just my thing. Now I've made it my thing. Because it unintentionally, when I was in Paris one time by myself, so it just has been this thing. So there's a place in the Grass Market, I think it's called Petit Paris.
Oh, okay.
It's like a little, And I think this is like the third or fourth time I've gone, always alone, always just, I don't know, you feel like kind of fancy, kind of special. And I usually get a couple like appetizers and almost have like a little tapas. So I'll get like escargot and I'll get a brie or a camembert and I'll get some wine and sometimes I'll get a little dessert and I will usually have a book with me or a notebook to do some writing or whatever. And because a lot of French places do one person, two people little tables. Because it is pretty lonely when you sit at a table for six and you're like, okay, I'm okay being alone, but this is making it very clear I have no friends. Or no friends who have immediate availability when I ask them to hang out. Like, are you free in 45 minutes? But French places have little tables for one person where it's like you're supposed to be on this intimate night. And so if you're like me, I always carry either a book, my laptop, or journal. Always have one of those three, and if I don't, I'll like go to a secondhand bookstore and buy a book just in case I am somewhere alone and I wanna. And then you don't really feel alone. But yeah, so I would really recommend that one. It's very cute. The staff is really nice.
That's cool.
It's, I mean, I think it's kind of, I think it's affordable, but I always only get the little appetizers, so it's like, you know, 5 or 6 pounds per little plate, which is fine for me.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
It's like tapas night.
Because I love French food. It's like my favorite food.
Oh, well, and definitely should go.
The main place I've been here is Chez Jules.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice. I love that
I've
place.
I've not actually been to that one.
Oh, you need to try
it. I walk by it all the time. I'm like, I gotta go here.
Yeah, it's a good one.
But yeah, the grass market's just like, I don't know. I feel I like,
yeah.
I've been in Scotland, in Edinburgh, for 5.5 years now. But it is like a cute little immigrant girl dream come true of like, grass, you know what I mean? Grass market's just that little kind of where you're like, oh, look at me. In Edinburgh, living, I can see the castle, but not from there, but like I walk 2 feet away and I can see the castle. And so it's also a very like, I don't know, aesthetic area to have that intrinsic.
And it's a good one though, because it has quite a lot of local places in the Grass Market. It's
just
not
like
very
like
little branded.
No. And it's like hotels on one side.
Yeah.
And then like pubs, restaurants, it's the ice cream place.
Yeah,
there's Armstrong's.
There as well, like the juice.
Yeah.
Place. It's so good. And they're all local. Like
yeah,
most of the
pretty
restaurants.
Much everything there is. I don't think there's anything.
Oh, no, just the hotel chains.
Yeah, which you can't really get away from, I suppose. But yeah, it was really nice, and the staff is always very sweet. There was like, anyone else joining? I'm like, nope. I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing why French, I feel like in France,
it's normal.
Quite common
as
well. So I feel like French restaurants are a good place as well, because it's kind of like quite Parisian, isn't it, to like dine alone and like go out for lunch.
When
and
I go
and
places
stuff.
Here, not here, when I go to like a typical Scottish or British establishment, not like people give me a hard time, but I'm like, oh, just one. And they're like, just one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, just one. Like, is anyone? Or I'll say like, you know, just me, no one's joining. And they're like, oh okay. And I'm not like, I don't feel any type of way about it, but they're always like, oh, right, okay, like, let me clear away the other plate, like, a little bit kind of caught off guard, whereas when I've gone there, I'm like, just one, they're like, okay, great, no problem, do you want a whole bottle of wine, just want it, like, they just, like, get right back in, you know what I mean, they're like, okay, great.
Yeah, because I think here, it's like, at lunch, it's maybe like people don't really people notice like cafes and stuff. But
yeah,
because
you'll
kind of
like pop in. And you know what? It was really when I was, of this, like, I would say I was about 25, 26 when I really started making these changes. I really thought intentionally of like, what kind of adult do I want to be? Because, you know, your frontal lobe develops at 25. And I remember being like, okay,
I just turned 26.
So you're fully developed. You've done it. So I remember thinking like, okay, I'm an adult now for real. Mm-hmm. My whole brain finally, you know, caught up. And so I just really started thinking intentionally of what kind of woman I wanted to be. And I wanted to be somebody that was comfortable. I would be equally comfortable if one of my friends had texted me back and said, like, hey, let's do this. I'm like, great. Can't wait for the company. But that wouldn't ever stop me from doing things I wanted to do. And my grandmother, one time we were talking about dating specifically, and she was saying her first husband, she got married really, really young, but she was saying, like, you know, I realized pretty early on that, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, but when we had money, we wanted to do some things, and we didn't have a lot of similar interests. And I'm like, I would rather just not go at all than drag somebody along who doesn't want to be there, or I'll go by myself. And that is great advice. I cannot, because a lot of times, especially in a relationship, you feel like your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whomever your partner is, you know, you should do all these things together because it's, I don't know, that's what you do when you're in a relationship, right? You couple up and you do. But if you don't have shared interests and there's something that you really want to do or a place you really want to go or a movie you want to see or just, it doesn't matter, and they don't want to be there, unless they are super happy-go-lucky just to do anything, I guess, it's going to sort of spoil the mood. Because I've done this with my husband, like, I'll be like, oh, okay, I'll go with you. And then we get there and he's like, for 10 minutes, and he's like, okay, I'm done. I'll just like, you know, good naturedly. He's like, I'll just sit on this bench and I'll just get a snack and I'll just wait for you. Like, do whatever. Take your time. And I'm like, well, I don't want to do that. That's weird. Now I feel, even though you're being really
like
nice
you have
about
to rush,
it. Now if it's something that I know he doesn't want to do, I'm like, I'm not even.
Yeah.
There's things that he likes to do that I don't want to do that I'm like, go call your friends. Like, I don't want to do that, you know? So that way you can really enjoy it. But I think with women, up until very recently, we're sort of taught, I don't know. It's not really it's not like what women would do. It's not very ladylike or something. I don't know.
It's like,
it's
like women are the social creatures.
Yeah,
right?
So you would go with your friends.
So it's like the men are the more solitary
creatures
that do things alone. And women are the social.
So,
but
anyway, fully recommend. It may feel a little bit weird at first, but
I think you
it's
get
a good
used
thing.
To it, though.
Yeah,
and I think
you definitely do.
Having the book and stuff sometimes, like, you don't even have to read the book. It's just kind of like a...
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like a...
Yeah.
I don't know, like a blanket, you know, it's like
I'm telling
comfort thing.
A book, because you could. You don't have
to. Yeah, you have
to,
the
but
choice. But also, if people are being annoying about it, they're less annoying if you're, like, with the book.
Book.
They think, oh, she's busy.
Journal, laptop.
Yeah.
They don't know if you're just, like, Facebook stalking your ex. That's your business. You could also be writing the great next, well, I was going to say American novel, the great next British novel. You could write anything. You could do anything you want. But they don't need to know.
Exactly. Right. I feel like we need to rewind.
Yes.
Introduce yourself, like, tell the listeners a little bit about, like, your story.
My name's Nicole. I have been in Edinburgh for, like I said earlier, 5.5 years. Kirsty put out some feelers if anybody wanted to join her podcast, and I will talk to anybody that wants to talk to me most of the time, I guess. So I said, sure, why not? So we met, we had a little chat, and she was like, you know, what is your story? What do you want to bring? And so many stories I could tell, but the story I wanted to bring for today was about, the first 30 years of my, I'm 33 now, the first 30 years of my life living completely unaware, undiagnosed, and untreated with ADHD, and what it has been like the last, not quite 3 years, nearly this spring it'll be 3 years of first discovering this and where that journey has led and what I've learned and what I've done about it and what I still need to do about it. And because a lot of people, specifically women, but a lot of adults are finding this out for themselves, and it is a minefield and it's very hard to navigate, and it was hard for me to navigate. And I was so grateful for every blog that I read and every, you know, think piece that someone wrote that gave me clarity that and a vocabulary and things that I never knew existed. And so I would happily do the same.
Yeah, so let's delve into that. Let's start off with then, how did the diagnosis come about? Like, what was the journey to getting towards the ADHD diagnosis? Talk us through that a little bit.
It's definitely different for everybody. And if you live in Scotland, if you're listening from England, it's a slightly different process. If you're listening from outside the UK, it's a probably a very different process. But you go to your GP first and foremost and say, hey, I think I have ADHD, and hope for the best, because a lot of people, first of all, still don't even think it's like a real thing. A lot of people, and when I say people, I mean also medical professionals, think that it's just for children and that you grow out of it. It is a neurological disorder in your brain. It's not, for example, like PTSD, which is trauma induced. You would not have that thing unless you experienced the trauma that caused it. Your brain is always this way. So a lot of people think that if you have it as a child, you'll grow out of it as an adult. So you kind of keep your fingers crossed, hope that your GP is not dismissive. And then they put you on the waiting list, capital W, capital L, because it is projected, depending on where you live, between 3 and 5 years for most people to see. And this is for a couple of reasons. On the surface level, it looks like it's because everybody is popping out of the woodwork to be like, yes, I have a disorder. Diagnose me, please. Label me. Medicate me. Which is not true. Or maybe is 1% true. But what it really is, and what I can't understand that nobody else can understand, is that there are more adults in this world than children. Because you're only a child from the day you are born to the day you turn 18. And then you are considered an adult. And the average lifespan is like, what, 75 or something? Yeah. So just by default, there are like triple the amount of adults in the world than there are children. There are plenty of child and adolescent services. I mean, there might be a little bit of a wait, but it's nothing really egregious, just sort of standard practice. And there's a lot of services, there's places, there's funding. Things, there's stuff. Great, I'm glad. I don't want to take away from that. That's brilliant. Literally does not exist for adults. Or is just in the last, like, not even maybe 5 years, people are like, The UK, I should look this up beforehand, but I want to say it's only been like maybe a decade-ish that the UK has even acknowledged ADHD as adults. Previously, they were like, you have it till you're 18 and you grow out of it. Mm-hmm. Like, magic. Like, you're done now. Right. So it's different for everybody. It really depends on your catchment and what the services are like. I know people that have had a pretty painless, virtually more than in person. I don't know anybody locally, but I'm in various like groups and things, and people have been like, I don't know. I mean, it took me 6 months and I got hurt. So sometimes you might be in the right place at the right time,
the right area,
but that was not me. And that is not most people. Yeah. Yeah. So you could just be really lucky where it's like quite a reasonable, so they have you fill out these forms, and they're a little bit silly in my opinion. It's very much like on a scale of 1 to 5, where do you rate yourself?
Yes.
And the questions are kind of leading. It's like, are you able to sit still for a long period of time?
Sounds the same as the form that you do for a child. But like, as a teacher, you would fill that out about the child.
Uh-huh. It's so very, the UK, I don't know if it's like this outside of the UK, but only, I know it is different everywhere, but at least in the UK, they are adamant that you link your childhood experiences to what you experience as an adult.
Yeah.
And you must show progression that you have, not progression, sorry. You must show that you've had the same, whatever problems as a kid, as an adult. So if you're like 60 doing this for the first time, you need to be like, well, when I was 12, this one specific, they want like specific, anyway, I'll get into that. So you fill out this form of like, and so I'm like, I can sit still, but you're looking at me. I have not actually sat.
That's why the form is made for someone else to do.
So I'm like, so when I think, can I sit still? I'm like, sure. I don't like run around. So I actually put that that wasn't a problem for me, or like, you know, 2 on a scale of 1 to 5 or something, because I was like, yeah, I can sit in a chair for hours. But actually sitting still, I actually never, and I never really realized that for a while, because now I realize I never stop moving at all, even if it's like an absent-minded, like, you know, twisting my fingers or my hair or something, tapping anything. So yeah, so they have this long list of things on a scale of 1 to 5, and then you send that away. Your GP sends that away, and then you go on the quote-unquote waiting list. That can take years. And then, I did not do this, but then what you would also have is that in theory, you would go to an NHS psychiatrist who studied this, and then we'll go through the diagnosis process. But I didn't do that. I sought private care because I was euphoric at the thought of understanding all of these things that I never understood. And I was like, I'm already in my 30s. I'm not waiting 4 more years. I'm sorry. And I am very fortunate to have some disposable income. And so I could, it cost me, the whole diagnosis process cost me maybe like £600 to £700. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot. And that's actually the most affordable one.
There's other ones that are way more. Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, that's
for
not...
me, that, but I also like, I don't have kids.
Yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
Have, I paid off my student debt years ago. But I don't have a car worse. Payment. I don't, right. So there are plenty of people that they're like, you've got to be kidding me. That's not even remotely feasible for me at all.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I was able to make that possible over the span of like so many months and just getting my life together. So I was very, very grateful, but that shouldn't be the standard that many people have to go
not.
Through.
Yeah.
And that was the affordable one. I saw other ones that were like twice as much money. So anyway, then you do the same thing for these people. You fill out the forms, and most of them, and I think the NHS is like this because they have all have the same guidelines. You have to show, like I said, from childhood to adulthood. So some people have to produce report cards. Yeah. Imagine. First of all, I'm an immigrant.
Even, like,
my stuff is maybe, if it still exists, is like in the attic. At my dad's house in a box
anymore.
And like there are people who are like, you have to have evidence of what you were like as a child. So if I'm sitting here fidgety as an adult, I was actually way worse as a kid because I was also a kid, and kids are just more like that in general. I'm like, how am I supposed to prove that? How am I supposed to prove that I can't sit still my whole entire life? And you don't believe me? So it really frustrates me because the burden of proof is on the person. Like you're literally begging these people to be like, please believe me. And what's funny is that when I did mine, it was over Zoom, and I was so it's an ADHD term. I was so hyper focused on it, on speaking to this man and all these. It was such a momentous thing for me that I literally was like back straight, like I was just like Zoom, because I was so obsessed with this moment that I was. I don't even know if I breathed. Do you know what I mean? I barely blinked. I was so in the zone. And he put on my notes. He was like, Nicole has no problem maintaining eye contact. She has no problem sitting still. You're sitting across from me. I mean, I don't have a problem with eye contact, but it's not like I'm just staring at you endlessly.
Oh, yeah, no.
Where, like, on the Zoom, I was literally looking at this man like this because I was like, do you know
so
what I mean?
Focused,
I was just so like, this is the most important thing that's ever going to happen to me. And I'm like that. So it was just really funny that he wrote that because I was like, I'm actually not like that at all. So we went through, he asked me to like have someone who knew me as a child fill out forms about me, which again, I hate because what if you don't have someone who knew you?
Yeah, everybody's got that available.
Yeah. Or they're like, get a teacher, get your parent. Okay. What if you're not
in touch with,
like, it's such a weird,
it's not common at all in this country either to be in touch with a teacher.
I mean, I'm in touch with like one high school teacher, but I'm not gonna be like, hi, can you please write a like several page report for me?
A common occurrence to like have a relationship with your teachers once you leave school.
I mean, literally one teacher that I'm like friendly with, and of all the teachers, it was like my theater teacher, so it was like quite an extracurricular thing. But anyway, it's such a bizarre, I just think the process itself is actually really ableist. because you're like, hey, you're this person, here's your typical symptoms, now do things that are actually against the things that are hard for you to do, and like get people, oh my gosh. So there's some things that they really look for, aside from the childhood to adult shared experience. And a lot of those things have to do with basic functioning. So they're like, oh, how did you do in school? Were you okay? Did you get through school? Did you graduate? Were you able to go to university? Do you have a job? Do you hold down a job? Very basic things that most of us can do. And a lot of, I didn't have this experience, but a lot of people, they're like, well, it can't be that bad then, can it? Because you obviously went to school. You then went to uni. You have a job. You have a house. You have a family. You're all right. And you're like, okay, I'm not sanctioned, but I'm struggling just because I've done. So it's a really weird, I feel like you have to beg these people. You almost have to, I'm not going to say lie, but you almost have to exaggerate. So I was like, well, and I didn't want to lie, but I was like, you know, school was interesting for me. I had things that were tough. But I really liked to read. And when I say really like to read, I mean, I would get in trouble for reading during like math. So then I would get detention where I would then sit and read. Like I just, so I'm like, so because there were aspects of school that I liked, overall, it was fine. Mm-hmm. But what he didn't ask me was about how I was in detention all the time because I never could remember to, I could never get to class on time. I would always forget the wrong book, or I'd open my book and I'd throw the book in my locker, or I would always forget to put my name on things. So like that, they were like, oh, okay. But you went to school, you graduated. And I'm like, yeah, but I had all these problems. Like, so it was just very interesting. Yeah, it wasn't like
an easy.
No, so it was very interesting, the things that they really harped on. And I think that's a universal experience. So anyway, the man was like, yes, you obviously have this disorder. And I was like, I know, thank you. I know, I just need someone to legally confirm it. And they're like, okay, well, best of luck. Do you want to try medication? And I said, sure, why not? So he asked me like questions. He's like, oh, do you want this or do you want this? And I was like, I don't know the difference. I don't know anything about anything. I don't know, whatever. You're the doctor. I don't know. Maybe after so many months, I could have an opinion, but as of right now.
Oh, yeah, when you've not experienced
it. He's like, okay, I don't remember what he said, but I mean, like, you could do one like this or one like this. And then there's also this, there's also that. What do you think? And I'm like, I don't know. What do you think? You're the person that knows the differences and have heard me talk now for 2-hour-long sessions. So, anyway, so he prescribed it to me. I didn't have any bad reactions. And they were like, okay, well, best of luck on you go. Now you can request shared care with your NHS doctor. Shared care is when you seek out private care for a diagnosis that you then go back to your NHS doctor and then they continue distributing the medication. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I have had, for lack of a boringly long story, the absolute runaround for the last year with my GP on this. Like, I worked with one GP and then a receptionist told me I couldn't get it, and I called back like 2 weeks later and I was like, sorry, I don't think you're right. Why is the receptionist telling me? And then I spoke to a GP and she was like, oh yeah, oops, sorry, haha, we have to forward your paperwork on. I'm like, okay. She's like, it'll be a little wait. And I'm like, yep, sure it will. And then I never heard back. And then I finally, like 6 months later, they were like, oh, that woman left. Weird. She's not here anymore. Do you want to see this doctor? Mm-hmm. And so they're like, okay, like, let's look at your files. And like, oops, the email chain dropped when that person left. So it's like a comedy of errors sort of situation. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that's still to be determined. Literally, I need to phone my GP maybe tomorrow, finally remember. And medication is very different for many people. I know people that are like, it has saved my life. I cannot function without it. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that strongly. I don't feel that it makes as big of an impact as other people have said. I don't know if that's because maybe it's not the right one. There's several different kinds. I don't know what's different about them, but I don't know. There's different ones. They obviously are different somehow. Otherwise, you would just have one thing for everybody. Right.
One, right.
So maybe that. I don't know. But what I really feel would benefit me and most people more than just take a tablet to go on your way is a service where people are like, okay, here's what it's like to have ADHD, and you've lived 30 years going about your life one way, mm-hmm. and now we're going to help you with that. And that doesn't exist unless you seek out private. There's no service, wow, really, so unless I
have like strategies kind
of thing. Nothing. There's nothing. They just are like, okay, take a medication. Bye now. Go to your life. And for some people, that's all they need. Actually, no, I don't actually think that's true. I think some people think that's all they need. I don't believe that if you... No, I don't believe that at all.
It's not always like a long-term
fix, and also, right? It's not like it's an antibiotic that you like take a medication. Yeah. You're like, my chest cold is gone. It helps you to... Basically, what these medications, they're stimulants. And so they're to help you focus and to kind of help you stay on track and not be such a scatterbrain or whatever. That's all good and well, but like it doesn't help me with the 30 years of how do I handle the way that I do things or the repercussions or how do I retrain myself to think this or what are better ways to go up? I don't know, whatever. I'm not the therapist. Yeah, I don't know.
The strategies, right? It's the same with like people that take like antidepressants and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Like, that isn't the whole toolbox. It's just a tool within the toolbox.
Correct. So I have looked from time to time at what I want is a therapist. If you're listening to the podcast and you happen to be this person, I don't know if they even exist. I can't really find it. I want a therapist who
is like
not only specializes in ADHD, because they have them, but they're for kids, for children and adolescents. These people exist for kids because most people up until very recently did not believe in adult ADHD. And it takes a while to get through school and a process and get a credit. You know what I mean? So maybe people are doing it now.
Process. Yeah.
But it's not like it's a quick...
Like graduation. And
right. Of course. So, but I want to work with somebody that understands what it's like to be undiagnosed until you're an adult. And now kind of, you know, I say it's like you put glasses on for the first time and be like, oh my gosh, this is what it's like. I thought I could see clearly before. And now I understand what seeing clearly is. Mm-hmm. And then tells me, works with me. I don't know the rest because I'm not the therapist of it. There are ADHD coaches that I put in quotes. I don't really know how I feel about that as a whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like you can kind of do like a course and get credit. And I'm like,
qualification involved in that.
I feel like I could become an ADHD coach in like a couple
the same
months.
With like life coaches. I always question like what's the
me too. And I'm sorry if you are an ADHD coach, you have one, and I'm right. I'm not trying to be discriminatory. It makes me wary.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. The same feeling.
Yeah.
Definitely. Right. So, and that's it. So now it's up to me to take care of myself.
So the symptoms, so you spoke a little bit about before you started to notice things, as in like when you find out about ADHD in general and adults, you started to notice things that you were like, oh,
I do this,
or I do that. Speak a little bit about
When you get diagnosed with ADHD, they classify it as three types. There's, according to the NICE, I forget what it stands for, it's called NICE guidelines. It's like National Institute of, I don't know, NICE guidelines. There's inattentive, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's less of the stereotype of like, ooh, something shiny, and more of like the, it manifests and looks like you make a lot of careless mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But careless isn't the right word, because you care a lot, but the mistakes seem as if you would do it, that it's careless.
Uh-huh.
And
is that one more predominant in women?
Women.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So generally, when people think of ADHD, they think of little boys running around, destroying things, being loud. And honestly, they are like that. That's a stereotype for a reason. Girls and women, or people born assigned female at birth, we'll say, to be inclusive, typically present with symptoms that are also hyperactive, but they are things like talking too much, not running around destroying things. You're still being hyper. Your brain is hyper, not your body. The day I read that, I was blown away. They're like, no, you're still hyper. You're just, instead of your body having a physical motor, your brain has the same wit. And I was... It was like the most succinct thing, and it made so much sense. It's like, because I do feel really hyper, but I don't like throw shit. I don't know. You know what I mean? Which is what you would think of that. So anyway, so girls are often characterized as the inattentive type, but But again, I think that's because it's really reductive to say hyperactive means this. Whereas, like, I can sit still, but I will not stop fidgeting the littlest bit every second because I still have these moments, but it's less. And there's also a lot of question as to, do people present differently based solely on gender, which is a construct in itself, uh-huh. or because of what we are taught from birth?
Okay.
If you are born female, born male, how society instructs you to behave.
Yeah.
And women are more apt at masking because women are more are taught to be adaptable to the world because mm-hmm. the world is catered more towards men. So women, all women of all kinds are intrinsically and extrinsically taught to be adaptable. So okay. when you have so a brain,
maybe why.
I think, right. So maybe it is a little bit because we do obviously see men typically showing one thing, women showing one thing. So I think maybe a little bit is just the nature of it, mm-hmm. but I think most of it's the nurture
interesting.
Of it. Because, yeah, so like girls, like typically, like young, like girls, not women, are often like, you know, daydreamy, mm-hmm. they'll call them,
mm-hmm.
Or a little bit of an airhead,
yeah.
or things like that. And boys are disruptive and destructive. I was very disruptive as a child. Very disruptive, but not in a destructive way. As okay. in, like, I would talk too much. Or
like,
I would
shit out in class kind of thing.
Right, or like, I would always get in trouble for participating in class too much. Yeah. And as an adult, I would get in trouble for participating too much, like, at work meetings.
Yeah.
I got called out once in, like, 2018, 2019 in front of, like, actually, it was really cruel. They were really not nice to me about it. Because I kept asking, I just had a lot of questions. I wasn't being mm-hmm. Belligerent. I genuinely had questions. And so I asked them, and there was like a table of like my senior managers behind me. And one of them was like, God, Nicole, let it go already. And I know, first of all, how mean. And then she started singing like, Let It Go from Frozen. And I was like, I just have a lot of questions. But so I always get in trouble for this. So I am disruptive, but in a way that's more societally presentable. Because
yeah.
I'm not standing on a table throwing a tantrum or something. I don't know, something mm-hmm, like not. Mm-hmm. But I'm clearly still making the same thing. So it has transitioned into adulthood. So me, as a girl in class, very inquisitive, talk too much, lots of questions. The teacher would get exasperated and be like, all right, just talk to me later. Like, you're taking up class time.
Mm-hmm.
And that still happens. So yeah, so my symptoms and are very common... are the inattentive ones where I am constantly doing things, simple, silly things like, you know, misplacing your keys, but it's not simple and silly when you do it every day.
Yeah, exactly.
And you literally can't. And
so like if you're listening and you do it occasionally, that's not.
Right. So the thing that I really hate with my whole body, mind and soul is when people are like, okay, everybody's a little bit forgetful and everybody can be a chatterbox. And I'm like, sure. Because the big problem with ADHD symptoms is that they just look regular. Right?
Yeah,
like, it's not like...
People argue their, like, personality,
right.
but it's...
Right. And a little
complex.
Bit, sure. Everybody misplaces things. Everybody,
but
whatever.
Right.
I don't... Right. If it's chronic,
mm-hmm.
and this is what people, again, I don't get what they don't get. I own 8 pairs of glasses because I would lose them in my house so regularly that I would constantly be late because I couldn't find my glasses. So I just now have 8.
Yeah.
So at any given time, literally, there'll be some in my kitchen. Some in my bathroom, some in my bedroom, one in the hallway. Great. Got a pair of glasses and we can go. So that's the thing I say. They're like, oh, I misplaced my glasses. I'm like, do you have 8 pairs now? Because you did it so often that you just couldn't get your life together.
Yeah.
Do you own? They're like, I have 2 in case one breaks. I'm like, right. Well, I have 8. Okay. It's not a competition, but I'm winning it.
Yeah,
you know, like.
No, that's a very valid point though.
Right.
Because it's like other people, when you're forgetful, it's more of like a thing where maybe you're having a bad day
or you're stressed or whatever.
Yeah, but if it's chronic, then it's
literally and chronic
constantly.
Never ending.
Exactly.
So I left my bag in the hallway, but I've been writing out very stream of consciousness because I have some projects I want to do this year. And so I just started writing a stream of consciousness
yeah.
examples of all of these things that I do that singularly look regular.
Mm-hmm.
Put together all of these things, usually all at once, are representative of inattentive ADHD. I cannot travel for the life of, I mean, I do travel. I'm planes, buses, I go to London for work a couple times a year. I've never made my train back. I watch them all leave. I get there just in time to watch them leave. Okay, it's been like 3 times in a year, in a 365 day year. I'm going to go next month and I'm like, no, actually I lied. I went in December and I booked an 8:30 train because my work finishes at 5:30 and I was like, I can't miss an 8:30 train.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I got there with like 20 minutes to spare, which was big for me. Because the 3 times before that I'd like watched it. And so when I say it, people are like, oh, I miss a train. I'm like, do you miss them all though? Do you miss them all? Because I miss all my trains all the time. I used to have to go between Edinburgh and Glasgow all the time for work. Never. I was always late. I was always the last person. I just can't get it together. Mm-hmm. So now that's when I say it looks careless. Because it looks like I don't care.
Yeah.
It looks like I'm not prioritizing it. And until I understood about ADHD, mm-hmm. I also believed that. And you only hear things so many times and see things. And when you don't understand, you don't have an answer, you internalize it. So I would say, I'm like, oh, I'm just really careless, I guess. And as I would say that, I would be like, I don't think that's true because I care a whole lot. So what's the problem? Mm-hmm. I don't get it. And it was just this cycle of people, sometimes literally or sometimes sort of rhetorically, you know, being like, oh, you know, the phrase I always use is like, why are you like this? Or I would say internally, why am I like this? And so I would go through the list. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm just really careless and I don't prioritize the right things. And I'm like, that just doesn't sound like me. And so then I would be like, okay, well, what about this? And all of those things are negative. It's not like, oh, I'm a wonderful person. Like, it's always like a bad.
Yeah, it's like like something that becomes like quite intrusive.
And it's it's the constant mm-hmm. record of all, and it, listen, you just start to believe it and it, yeah. So, with travel, again, a very good example of always being late. That's like another mm-hmm. ADHD. You can't get anywhere on time. It looks really careless. I care a whole lot. What I struggle with is a phrase called executive dysfunction. So when I don't know what people do when they get up in the morning. They get up and they do whatever they need to do when they get out of the house. I get up and I'm immediately paralyzed. Every single morning, day after day, mm-hmm. decade after decade, because I don't know what to do first. Do I start making my coffee so that it needs 4 minutes to brew and then by the time I'm done brushing my teeth, it's ready? And I'm like,
it's
okay,
like
let me
do that. Overwhelming.
Every little step. Yeah. Is like this process of like, how do I do this when, so what ends up happening is that you're boiling water while you're brushing your teeth with like one sock on, trying to like book an Uber and then you forget, and then the water goes cold and then you do it again. And then like you put your makeup on before you brush your teeth. So now you have to like fix your makeup because like the mm-hmm. toothpaste messed it up. And then, I don't know where my keys are, because I changed my outfit. So they were in my coat pocket, but then I took my coat off and I forgot I put them in my coat. And it's just this forever because it's, so that's called executive dysfunction where you can't make this linear, I don't know actually what it looks like because I can't do it, but I assume this linear plan of like how things go.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I
like wake up and have a coffee and then I have my breakfast and then brush my teeth, but you don't have
No, that. I just do them all at the same time. And I just thought that was like a huge character flaw. Like I'd be like, it's just like a quirky thing that I do. And now I know it's like the most typical standard thing. Mm-hmm. So that's how a lot of my mornings go, in that like chaos of like, how do I, what do I, even if I lay my clothes out the night before, even if I do all the things that I should do, maybe it's a little bit less, but it still happens incredibly. And so that is really why I'm late, because I can't figure myself out because mm-hmm. my brain doesn't put the puzzle pieces in order. But what it looks like to the other person is that I'm careless. And that I don't prioritize it. And that I don't know, whatever they think that I do. And so I became, and I'm still, and I'm working on it, really, really, really paranoid of other people's perceptions of me.
Mm-hmm.
Because people aren't going to normally come right out and be like, I think that you're careless and lazy, and that you have bad priorities, and all these. So
first impression thing as well, right? Where you're like, oh, well.
And then when I was younger, I was like, well, you know, I'm 18. I'll grow out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept getting older. And some things maybe I grew out of a little bit out of childhood that are just childhood, whatever. But as these things stayed with me, I would say by my like early 20s, I was like, okay, Nicole, like, why are you like, what is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Why are you like this? Why can't you do these like very seemingly regular, basic, average things? And if you know somebody with ADHD and you ask them, they probably would say almost word for word what I said. Because I started reading firsthand accounts and people were saying nearly word for word what I just said on this. Mm-hmm. And it was incredible. It was such a, I don't know, like a weight of like, oh my God.
Oh, not, visibility. Surely.
I'm not, yeah, you're like, yeah. I'm not, insert whatever horrific thing you tell yourself that you are. I just, like, my joke now is, like, I just have a little brain disorder. Like, that's it. Yeah. I'm not this, like, lazy, stupid piece of shit person who doesn't care about anybody and all these things. I just have a brain disorder. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. Brilliant. Okay, we can work with that. We can work with a brain disorder. We can't work with these phrases and these terms mm-hmm. that I don't really think actually describe me, but I don't know what else it is. So I guess I am these things.
It's the only boxes you can find.
And then there's a whole new checklist I didn't even know existed. Yeah. So that is like the nitty gritty of like the figuring it out and the understanding. And everyone has different symptoms, but they all, for the most part, it's a lot of overlap. Everybody mm-hmm. has little specific, whatever, quirks of their own thing, which is, again, probably more nurture than anything else of the way you were brought up and your experiences and stuff. But it is universally a pretty 80% shared experience of what ADHD is like. And the key part, again, is that chronic,
yeah,
constant absolutely. Overlapping, as opposed to like, sure, I misplace my keys, you know, every once mm-hmm. in a while. It bugs me too. Not four times a day, every day of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. To kind of round it off, what has the experience of being diagnosed, kind of spoken about that a little bit of how that's changed things, but what would you say are kind of the key things that have changed for you predominantly from the diagnosis and potentially like the impact of the medication? Obviously you're still very much yeah. on that journey, but what has changed for you so far?
So the first time that I like literally read a random article, not looking for anything, I just literally read this random article, it was either April, it was lockdown, so it was either like April, May, I don't think it was quite June, April, May time 2020. And also this is February 2023, so it's nearly 3 years. But I didn't actually get a formal diagnosis until December 30th, 2021.
Okay.
So I waited like a lot. Well, some of that was also waiting for the end. But a lot of it was like, let me be really, really, really sure. Mm-hmm. And so every time I would read a whatever, sometimes a scholar thing, sometimes a lived experience thing, it was that 1% little bit more of that validation that, okay, great. This is, because I was like, I don't want to just, I would sort of gaslight myself to be like, am I just looking for a reason to explain all my bad behaviors away? But no, every single time that I literally from like a researched article to somebody's like blog post, I was like, yep, okay, 80 to 100% of this tracks identically to my own lived experience. So by the time I actually had my diagnosis, it was actually just a confirmation. And some people never seek diagnosis because they just don't want to or whatever. And within the community, being self-diagnosed is considered diagnosed because we all know how either you wait years or you pay a lot of money and it's just a whole faff. So, but for me, it was important to have diagnosis because I wanted the ability to say, I have this disorder. And other people not, because before I had it, people would be like, all right, Nicole, like, bit much, kind of, sort of a response. They're like, oh, okay, Nicole, like, whatever, okay, yeah, we all have something wrong with us, don't we? And then I was like, no, I didn't pay a doctor to give me the answers, but I was like, I put a lot of time, energy, money, all these things, mm-hmm. and I spoke with a trained professional who, they don't care, they can say yes or no, they get paid either way. Like, this man, it's not like if he doesn't give me the answer, it's not like a lawyer, like, if they don't win, they don't get their money. He can be like, no, I think you're dramatic. Bye, you don't have it. But he didn't. He said, without a doubt, 100%, I knew almost right away, you have this disorder. And I said, thank you, doctor, me too. And so what that gives me is, first of all, and very importantly, it's considered a disability in the UK, which I go back and forth on how I feel about that, but you are protected under the Equality Act of 2010. Mm-hmm.
Which is important.
Which is extremely important because in my current job, it isn't really relevant. I don't really have, but in former jobs, I can look back and see clear parallel, like, things that are so obvious that I was on, like, you know, I'd be on a write-up or a warrant or all these things, and like, okay, what's the problem? And I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know why this is like this. And I'm like, oh, it's because I have ADHD. If you're in school, it can be something as simple as, like, I struggle with deadlines and your professors or your teachers having a
work extension.
Or, like, some people, like, because we all struggle with time, a lot of a comment, it's a, what do they call it? A reasonable accommodation. It can be like you have flexible start and finish time. So you start at 9, but actually it's like between, as long as you get there between 9 and 9:15 and you leave between 5 and 5:15 or whatever, your workplace. So there mm-hmm. are things that you can do. So that's extremely, extremely important. So that was in the back of my head, but it was mostly for the validation. Like I was like, there's not a pound amount that it's not worth. Even if it took me 5 years to save up for it, it would have been worth it.
Well,
because,
like, imagine the impact on your self-worth when you have the validation.
Oh my,
is
literally
monumental.
I'm like, I really thought that I was inept at existing at mm-hmm. a basic human level, and now I just have this little brain disorder. Are you kidding me? 30 years of thinking that, it's just, my brain's just wired funny. Thank god, what, it all makes sense now. So there was that whole initial, that was the whole first, like, from the first day, April 2020, whenever, to end of 2021. Since being diagnosed, which is now a year and 3 months or something as of right now, it has been a journey of trying to unpack all of the things mm-hmm. that I believed about myself that I knew were wrong, but I didn't have a better thing to insert in there. And not rely on the stereotypes that I had given myself, because especially in my 20s, I would think like, okay, here's something I want to do with my life, big or small. And then I would look at the past experiences and be like, well, those didn't go well. And it really prevented me from living the life and being the person that I wanted to be and really thought I could be. But again, without the vocabulary of understanding why, it just left you in this, I would call it the in-between.
Yeah.
That's how I would refer to it. It gave me a vocabulary where I can now explain somewhat succinctly to people, I struggle with this, and this is what it's called, and these are common examples, and this is what, you know, not just blogs, like what, you know, scholarly reviewed peer articles say about it and things like that, which has been invaluable. But the most important thing that it has been is it has given me the ability to have a hope for my own future, because I would always joke that I never thought I'd live past 30, not in a suicidal way, but in a, I just can't see it go. I just can't see it. I just can't see anything past.
Okay.
I just couldn't see a life for myself because I couldn't picture it, because I couldn't seem to do the things that it would take to make it happen. And so I feel like I'm living on this like new, fresh time that I never even thought I would have, no longer thinking that I'm incapable of doing things. I know that they're difficult for me, but I understand how they're difficult. So I can kind of look at how can I work around this? How can I, so like the silly example of the train, I was like, hey, what if I just catch a train that's so late that it's ridiculous for me to think I can't make it? And I did, I made it. Whereas before I'd be like, oh, I can catch the train that's 45 minutes after, because any reasonable person should be able to get from A to B in 45 minutes. I'm obviously not a reasonable person. So by the fourth try, instead of trying to fit myself into a box that I just can't do, right? I just can't make it happen. We've tried several times. It's not working. Doesn't matter the reason. It's just not working.
Create a new box.
I'm going to have to find a new way. But before knowing about all this ADHD stuff, I would have never even thought. Because I'm like, why would I book a train? Why would I wait around for 3 hours? That's ridiculous. I don't want to do that. And then I get home. It's like 1 a.m. and I have work in the morning. I'm tired. That's a bad option. I'll do the option that's 45 minutes. The journey's 30. I have an extra 15. That's fine. Not for me. So now, instead of trying to do things that I obviously cannot do and then doubling down on how I feel about myself about them when I fail because I can't do them, I'm finding new ways. I am looking at new things. I'm mm-hmm. looking at things through the vein of like, here's what I understand is difficult for me. How can I supersede that and find something better? And then I guess the best thing, and what I always say to people, is that I have, and especially in the last 6 months, really started to understand that I am not the symptoms, the things, so the chronically being late, the misplacing everything, the careless, inattentive mistakes, all these things and much, much worse things that I don't need to put out into, I think them, I don't need to speak them, bring them, give them life. I'm not those things. Those things are because I have a funny little brain disorder and they manifest in this way and they present this way, but that is not who I am as a person.
Yeah.
And that, there is no money. There is nothing more valuable than that understanding for me and for many other people who have any sort of neurological disorder where you're like, why can I not do what seems very regular? I'm not trying to like climb Mount Everest or do something, go to the moon. I'm not trying to do something superhuman. I'm just trying to exist on a basic level here and you're all doing it pretty okay. And I am not. And not, I still have all the same struggles. I still make a lot of mistakes. But when I make a mistake, instead of telling myself it's because I am, insert lots of really mean things to say to yourself, I'm like, okay, yeah, because my, I get that, because my brain thinks this way, and that's obviously why this was hard, and I'm frustrated with myself, and I'm disappointed, but I'm not going to spend 3 days hating myself for it. I might spend like an hour being annoyed at myself, which is fine, but not the spiral of self-hatred and shame and yeah, and that is, yeah, that's everything, really. It's given me a lot. It's given me my whole life back, actually.
Amazing.
And I wish I could have had forever.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think that's an excellent point to end on. So to round off the episode, we like to ask our guest every week, or every second week, I should say, what is your thing that you like to curry in with? Like, what's one of your favorite things, or who is your favorite person, or is there something you like to watch or listen to?
Mornings in general. I really like slow, sunshiny mornings. I have my kitchen window gets like a good hour and a half of light. And I just love everything about maybe not the waking up, but once I'm awake. I really love to, I don't know, I've been getting all these little kitchen appliances. Like I just got a little mini, like one person heart-shaped waffle maker.
Oh, cute.
I know. And I'm like, look at me with my, so like I'll make these like really, well for me, like very gourmet feeling breakfasts. And like I've got like my little coffee frother and I have like my nice, like so I, as often as I can manage it, I really love, it just feels like such a, yeah, just like a little slice of time and space that I'm carving out to have this slow moment and this slow morning with like things. I love breakfast foods. I would have breakfast for like breakfast, lunch, and dinner if nice. I could. And so it's a very, especially in the winter, like I'll literally get back in bed and like wrap my blanket around. But even in the summer, like I'll sit outside in the sun. And
I think
a
cozy morning is so underrated, I think.
Yeah. And it is a really, and I've actually not been doing it as much lately, so maybe this will inspire me, but I usually do it fairly frequently, especially now that I work from home, so I have the ability to, like, sit there and eat my waffle while I'm answering emails, and I'm not, like, commuting or in an office or something. But it also is such a nice way that the very first thing that you do to start your day is something that's, like, sunshine and, like, really, like, cozy, nice. Sometimes it's more healthy, sometimes it's less healthy, but like a meal that you crafted for yourself.
Yeah,
that
it's like a self-care moment.
Yeah, and that's a very, and sometimes like that is the only thing I do for myself that day that's kind, and sometimes it sets off a chain effect, and sometimes the rest of the day goes very downhill from there, but at least it's like starting with
absolutely
good intentions.
Nice, I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
And chatting to everyone. It was so lovely to talk with you. Where can our listeners find you?
Oh, well, I do have plans for things later this year, but they're not, because I have ADHD, they're not happening yet. So I was going to shout those out, but they're not even close enough. You can find me on Instagram. My Instagram is aptly named High Heels and Heavy Suitcases, because stuff, he'll struggle with life. And I talk about a lot of things on there, but I talk about ADHD a lot. So if you want to talk about that, I will happily listen or advise or whatever.
And I'm sure when new things do come up,
yeah,
we will inform the listeners.
Oh, yes.
Well.
If I ever get it together.
Yeah. Well, there's time. There's plenty of time. But thank you so much for coming. And thank you everyone at home for listening.
Yes, thank you.
No problem.
That is the end of this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please do remember to go and check out Nicole. Her Instagram will be linked in the bio. And while you're at it, why not just check out Everything Fab too? We are on Instagram at Fancy of Leather and TikTok Fancy of Leather. As I said earlier in the episode, big things coming very soon. Very excited. And yeah, thank you for listening. Please do review. Follow/subscribe to the podcast, tell people about us, and have a great week. And if you're feeling generous, give this episode a little share on social media and tag us, and then you'll hear from me in 2 weeks. Bye.